that we have to study this morning will be beneficial to you and help to you in your walk with the Lord. A couple of lessons ago, I gave a lesson on mercy and how we should extend mercy to those that we come in contact with. Why? Because we have received mercy ourselves. And today we're going to continue in that because the mercy that we receive should cause us to want to do something. It should cause us to act in certain ways. And we're going to take a look at that this morning by looking at something that is very important for us to be aware of. And that's the danger of apathy. Apathy defined as a lack of interest or a lack of enthusiasm or concern or being lazy or slothful. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I like the way that it is said here in the Spanish language, in the Spanish Reina Valera. It says, it requires diligence, not lazy, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 11 here, Paul says that we're not to be slothful. He says that we're not supposed to be lazy. We're supposed to be fervent in spirit. We're supposed to be serving the Lord. He's talking about people who are motivated, who are passionate, who are boiling over for their service to the Lord. So today we need to ask ourselves, does that describe us? Does that describe me as someone who is in service to the Lord? Are we slothful or lazy? Are we diligent? Are we fervent in spirit in our service to God? Perhaps some of you are saying, thinking, I find myself looking at my own self inwardly, and I used to be diligent. I used to be fervent. Maybe you're burned out. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe someone criticized you in the past. Maybe someone has spread false rumors about you or something contrary to who you are. Maybe all your hard work in the past wasn't noticed and you didn't feel like that you were appreciated. Maybe you're thinking, I'll just attend the services from now on, but, I really don't want to get involved in serving. And if you truly feel that way, as sometimes we all do, you need to get refocused and have a proper motivation for serving God. Paul here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he has given us the proper motivation that we need in order to serve God. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our supreme motivation that he talks about here is mercy. The mercies of God, by the mercies of God. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, that we read earlier, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit and serving the Lord, Paul shows us how to serve the Lord. Not being lazy, not being having a lack of diligence, but being fervent and diligent, serving the Lord. So the first thing that we're going to look at is not being lazy or slothful. So by the mercies of God, we need not be lazy, but be diligent in serving the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9 says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Like we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, we need not be slothful in business. And I said slothful translates from a Greek word that means lazy. And in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus used this same idea to describe a lazy servant who didn't bother to invest what he was given from his master so that it could be used for gain. But instead, he buried it in the ground until the master returned. In Matthew chapter 26, we read, or 25, verse 26, we read, "His Lord answered and said to him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed.'" He called him lazy. He called him slothful. He called him wicked. Being slothful is wickedness in the eyes of our God. And we need to realize that we need to not be slothful or lazy in our service to God. This lazy servant that we read about here put his own convenience above the master's purpose. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain." So we don't need to be lazy, but we need to be diligent in serving the Lord. So I ask you, do you work hard? Do we work hard at serving the Lord with diligence? Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." If those words that he's talking about here, he's talking about the slaves, people that were slaves. And if those words applied to slaves who had the most horrible jobs that you could ever imagine, then they certainly apply to us in our jobs, don't they? It applies to us as servants for God. Our mindset should be that we are serving the Lord, therefore don't be lazy, work hard. God has given us talents that we need to be using in order to serve Him. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that soweth, mercy, with cheerfulness." When we use the talents that God has given us to serve Him, it glorifies Him. And we show the mercy of God towards others. He energizes us with His power in order to do His will. Paul explains this in Colossians, talking about himself, where it says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." Not according to my own strength or my own abilities, but according to what God has blessed me with. It works in me mightily. And we need to use those things for the glory of God. When we do what God has given us the ability to do, to serve Him by the power that He supplies, it energizes us. You may be tired, you may be thinking, you know, I'm just worn out, but you'll also see success in your service because God energizes you. The next thing that we see is the mercies of God call us to serve is to be fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. Where are we at here? Pardon me. Here we are. Fervent in spirit. We need to realize that it is the one and only Almighty God that we serve. The beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the Creator of all things, and Heavenly Father, which we serve. And He deserves our best. The word translated fervent literally means to boil over. So Paul is describing a great passion here about serving God. So Paul isn't describing someone that needs to be arm twisted into doing something or, you know, until he feels guilty and then goes ahead and does it. He's talking about someone who is boiling over with passion to the point that they're giving everything that they've got, everything that they have, everything that they possess, and with their very best. Their passion for serving others would be so great that they would want to be involved in every opportunity to serve God that comes along. Every opportunity. Let's look at the Old Testament for a minute. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have ye polluted thee? Wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts." And jumping down to verse 13, it says, "Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed at it, saying, the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord?" We have to offer God our very best. Do we think that offering God our very best is just a weariness to us? A burden to us? Or are we boiling over and ready and willing to go and do as we've been asked to do? Maybe you're thinking that, you know, I'm just a laid-back person, you know, fervent in spirit. You know, that just doesn't really describe me. That's not really my personality. But really, it's not a matter of personality. Paul writes these things in Romans for us, chapter 12, for us, so that we need not be lazy, but be diligent and fervent, boiling over, ready to serve God. It's not a matter of personality. It's a matter of doing what God has asked us to do, no matter who you are. It applies to young people. It applies to old people. It applies to skinny people, not so skinny people, people with lots of hair, people with not so much hair. It applies to everyone. Everyone using the talents and the things that God has given us. It's a matter of passion. It's a matter of what gets you excited. No matter who you are or what type of person you are or personality that you have, something gets you excited. Something excites you. Whether it might be politics, or sometimes it might be sports or music or nature or your job or your family, something gets you excited. And we need to be passionate towards the things that God has asked us to do. The motivation that drives our passion for Christ should be great because of the mercies that we've received. Jesus Christ and the gospel should make our spirit boil. The good news that Christ has died for us while we were yet sinners should get us excited. The fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God should motivate us. The mercy of God that rescued us from sin through the obedience of the gospel should fuel the fires of passion for Christ so that we're not lukewarm about such wonderful truths. We need to be fervent in spirit in serving the Lord. The third thing is that we need to realize about the mercies of God that motivates us to serve is that we serve the Lord God. We serve the Lord God Almighty. And these three simple words, we serve the Lord, they're packed with some very important practical truths. First of all believers are called on to serve the Lord, not men, but not even ourselves, but serve the Lord. Like I said, Paul wrote in his letter to the entire church of Rome, not just to the teachers, not just to the leaders, not the deacons and the elders, the entire church. And all Christians are to be serving the Lord in some way. And we need to realize that we serve the God Almighty. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 says, "For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that soweth mercy with cheerfulness." Paul uses the analogy of the church as the body of Christ, where it's often used as being the body. When we think of our bodies, every part of the body is valuable and useful to the overall functioning of the body, just like the church. Every member having a purpose, having different talents and abilities for the use of the body. Yeah. Tell you something, there is no such thing as a non-serving member of the body. Think about your own body. Think about your eyes. Think about your hands and your feet. How would your hands know what to do if they couldn't see? How would your feet know where to walk if they couldn't see? How would you listen to someone talking if you didn't have ears? How would you know who was talking if you weren't able to see them? All members of the body help one another and come together in the things that they have and the things that they do in order to benefit the other members of the body. And all of this is directed from what? The head, which is Christ. When we talk about the church, being a servant of God is not an option in the body. Taking directions from the head is not an option in the body of Christ. We need to understand that there's a huge difference between I don't know why my presentation got mixed up. may just have to do this the old-fashioned way. Yeah, let's do it that way. The next thing that we need to realize in our service to the Lord is that we are His slaves. It's not an option to serve the head, is it? It's not an option to serve God. We're slaves. The Greek word for serve means to be enslaved. Think of it this way. The Lord bought us with His blood out of the slave market of sin. And now we're His slaves. We're slaves to Christ. We were never really our own, whether we're slaves to sin or we're slaves to Christ. We were never our own. We were slaves to something. Now, we as Christians belong to Jesus Christ as slaves. Now, that being said, all that we are and have is not ours. You see, slaves don't have the right to possess anything. Slaves don't have the ability to own things. Everything's owned by the master and given to him for use. Our time is not our own. Our money is not our own. Our careers are not ours to pursue. Everything that we are, everything that we have belongs to the Lord to be used for His glory and purpose. We need to understand that there's a huge difference between a slave and a volunteer. Think about that. If my mind was to tell my hands to do something, but they refused, how far would I get? Not very far. Volunteers choose when and how they serve. Slaves, on the other hand, are called on all day, all night, whether they feel like serving or not. They don't have a choice in the matter. Volunteers can quit serving if they want to. While slaves don't have that ability, do they? The master may change their duties to do something else instead of what they're doing at the time, but they're not free to quit. They're expected to work in conditions that are sometimes not very good. Volunteers have certain expectations, though, don't they? They expect to be treated with respect. They expect proper working conditions. They expect consideration for their needs. But slaves don't have any expectation like this. And Jesus illustrates this. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10 says, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when is he come from the field? Go and sit down to meat. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I sup, may I sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I eat, have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." So many times I think we tend to view of our service to the Lord as voluntary. Our service to Him tends to be at our convenience. If we have time, if we're not tired, if we don't have anything else important to do for ourselves. Do you view yourself as a slave of Jesus Christ? If that sounds harsh, remember the alternative. I believe it was Bob Dylan that saying, you're going to have to serve somebody. And that's true. You're going to have to serve somebody. If you're not a slave of Christ, then you're a slave to the devil and sin. Christ is a loving and caring master who never abuses his slaves. The devil, on the other hand, is a conniving, self-serving tyrant who has no concern at all for his slaves. The devil seeks nothing but to devour you. It is far better to be Christ's slave than to be enslaved to Satan and to sin. Serving the Lord means that also that we're not serving ourselves. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love and serve one another. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Paul warns the Romans, the Roman believers there in Rome, about those who serve themselves and not Christ. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18 says, now I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. These men that he's describing here were manipulators. They were using their teaching abilities to satisfy their own lust and their own desires, to satisfy their own bellies. It says, some people do this because they love the power and the control that they have over people, not to build people up in Christ Jesus. And it's sad, isn't it? We see it all the time. Some use the role as a preacher for financial gain, to live a lavish lifestyle. Using false promises and healing ailments to give people, to get people's money. Sometimes they use their position to prey on the vulnerable people, don't they? Using them to gratify their lusts and desires. Everyone who does these kind of things are for themselves. They're not serving God. They're serving themselves. They're not serving one another. They're not being there to edify, uplift, and upbuild the body of Christ. They're serving themselves. But you know, I'm sure that none of us do those kinds of things. But it's easy for us as Christians to fall into this mindset where it becomes, this is my thing. This is what brings me fulfillment. My whole identity gets tied up in my. I love the feeling of the significance that I get when I help people out. I love the praise that people give me when I serve them. Now, I'm not saying that there should not be some sort of joy that we feel when we serve the Lord. There obviously should be joy that we have by serving God. But there is that legitimate sense of fulfillment when God uses us through His power, through His might, to serve others. It's not within ourselves, but it is the power of God. Serving the Lord means that we're not to be serving ourselves. But our service is to God, and in extension by serving others and showing the mercy of God to others. We're going to conclude in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse number 14. Now, this is a letter to Laodicea, where they had some issues that we're talking about today. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14, it says, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and being of God's creation." They had failed to recognize the greatness of the God that they were to serve, and that they were His creation, created to do good works for Him, in service to Him. They didn't recognize the greatness of God. They didn't give God the glory and the honor that He deserves with their service to Him. Continuing in verse 15 says, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot, so that because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." They were not fervent. They were not excited or boiling over in joy to serve God. They counted it as a burden and a weariness to do so, like we read in Malachi. Continuing in verse 17 says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you by from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see." They profess to be righteous, but it was their own righteousness. They had become content in their ways and not the ways of the Lord. Self-seeking. And He calls them to change. They're called to heed to the true righteousness of God and abandon those false righteousness of themselves, being so assured of themselves. Continuing in verse 19 says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I believe I have this last slide, I hope. Whoop. Here it is. We read these verses earlier, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and Romans chapter 12, verse 11. I won't read them again, but you can see them up on the screen before you. This is a teaching from Paul through Paul, from our Lord and God, showing us how we should serve the Lord. How do we serve the Lord? First, we need to make sure that our motivation is right. You serve Him because of His greatness, His great mercies that have been shown towards us in the gospel of Christ. The motivation that we have motivates us not to be lazy, but to be diligent in our service to Him. Serving Christ becomes our passion so that we do it fervently, that we're boiling over and ready in every opportunity. And remember that you're serving none other than the Lord God Himself, the Alpha, the Omega, the all-powerful God, the beginning, the end. It is Him we serve. And it is Him that gives us strength to carry on. And it is for us to take our direction from the head which is Christ, and to do His bidding and not that of ourselves. I apologize for the inconvenience of the slides this morning, but I hope this message has been a blessing to you, a help to you. I hope that has spurred you on to be a good servant for the Lord. And not to serve yourself, but to serve Him with passion. To serve Him diligently, fervently, giving Him the glory because He's the one that deserves it. He's the one that we should give glory and honor to. If there's a need that you have this morning, if you'd like the prayers of the church, if you need help, if you'd like us to study further with you, or there's a need that you might have, we'd like to help you. We're here to serve one another by extension of serving God, serving Christ our Lord. If you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Christ, we urge you to do that also. Believe on Him. Repent. Confess His name before men. Be baptized. We give you that opportunity this morning. We're ready to assist you in that. If you would like to do either, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing the invitation song.